Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling the radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring they're tight sealed. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system, just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Up under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, a.k.a. the Lobster Slayer. Yes, I am gearing up for Florida spiny lobster season, which the mini season kicks off this Wednesday and Thursday in the state of Florida. It's a 48-hour, you know, notice to the lobster that we were coming to get you. Recreational divers get a head start above the commercial trappers in Florida, and they get to go down there and catch their limit of lobster in this two-day mini season, as they call it. And it's also a chance to hone your skills for the rest of the season as well. Now, I don't need to do that because I've been doing this for many years, and what I do now is basically try to, you know, mentor future generations of lobster slayers. I have two of them in the studio with me today, CJ and James. They are my dive students and lobster hunters to be. And I know they're excited. I've given them some tips there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to hour one. Catch up with the rest of the class. But you got to be the lobster. You have to know how the lobster think. And you have to calm yourself when you see the lobster, because that's the first mistake every lobster hunter makes, including myself back in the day, long time ago, when I was a young little whippersnapper and a good little diving doobie. I'd go down there
doobie.
And I'd see that. Yeah.
How do you think he called himself?
And I'd go down there and I'd see the lobster, and you just go crazy. You just start sucking your air dry, and you go, oh my God, it's a lobster, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
I believe you about the you started sucking part.
Yes. And you suck your air dry, and you get so excited that your jerky movements, and it freak out the lobster. They jerk back under the ledge there, and you don't have a shot at them. You can't get your looper around them. You can't get the tickle stick back there because you spooked the lobster back into his hole. So the trick is to go down there, and as soon as you see the lobster, the first thing you need to do is kind of like the first rule of, or one of the many rules in diving, which is stop, think, and react.
Can you hit
stop? You think about the situation and react, and what you want to do.
By then, he's long gone.
No.
Well, now, here's the question I have for you, Greg, and I know that this is not instruction for me, because clearly I know plenty. But really, this is for Jimmy and for CJ. Mm-hmm. But when you say stop, think, and react,
yeah,
stopping, looking at the lobster, thinking how delicious it will be,
mm-hmm. No, that's
and
not what
salivating, is not going to catch me a lobster.
No, it's stop, drop down to the depth, and get a roll. Stop, drop, and roll.
I cover myself with duct tape.
No, that doesn't help either. But you do. You want to stop, think, and react, just like you would do in a diving panic situation.
Do they swim backwards like crayfish do?
Yes.
Because I used to catch those in the creek up north.
In the creek, yeah. I did that as well. But these ones in Florida don't have pinchers. So they're not like Maine lobsters. So you could grab them, but they're so fast, there's no way.
They are fast.
Nine times out of ten, you're not going to get your hand on them because they're so fast. And as soon as they sense any kind of movement in the water, they're going to jerk back, and there's no way you're going to have a shot at them. So you have to calm yourself.
Plus, God knows what else is in that hole.
Exactly. Don't stick your hand in the crack because you may not get it back. That's what they say. And it could be an eel back there. God knows what other kind of critters or, you know, sea monsters live back in those holes. You don't want to take any chances.
Mermaids.
Exactly. God knows you don't want to have them get a hold of you.
No.
They got filthy mouths.
There's not an ointment that'll get rid of that disease. Anyway.
Try to wash that stink off. I'm kidding. They're lovely.
All right. So anyway, calm yourself. Relax. Because the lobsters will sense movement in the water, jerky movement. And if they sense any kind of danger like that, they'll swim back under the reef there, and you just won't have a shot at them. So you really, that is a big part of it, is really consciously calming yourself and slowing down your energy level so you move slowly and gingerly. You work that tickle stick behind them over their antenna to the back of them and just lightly tap on their tail with the tickle stick, which is just a long, about 3 foot pole.
So they don't move out of the way when they see that big stick coming at them?
No, they as long as you don't hit them in the antennas.
Right.
But if you take the tickle
like
stick
a mermaid, just like a mermaid.
Around the side of them or even through the middle of the antennas.
Like a field goal.
Yeah, like a field goal. If you do that, but you move slowly and deliberately.
Up and over.
And then you take it up and over, and then you start just tapping it really lightly.
And they'll come
back
forward?
Yeah, they're like, hey, something's behind me. What's bugging me? Hey, what's that on my butt? Hey. And they'll walk out, and then you get your net behind them. Then you can, like, you know, whack their antenna, and they'll swim back in the net. You got them that way.
So the net is behind them. So you put the net behind them.
After you get them out from the crevice or out from under the reef where you can get the net behind them.
What happens if you tap them on the tail too hard?
They won't like that, and they'll just think that, hey, what's going on here? I'll take you on. And they'll go back there and just swim away. The thing is doing it. Is taking your time, and that, like I said, the number one problem most people have when they go after the lobsters for the first time is they'll want to rush it. They'll want to hurry too quick. They'll start getting excited, and they'll move around too fast, and that'll spook the lobster, and then you won't have a shot.
Kind of like your wedding night.
Exactly.
I believe Elvis said it best, fools rush in.
Good point.
Good job, Bill.
Okay, so maybe Elvis
was cutting. That's
a closet.
Cutting edge right
that
there.
Is. That's
Elvis may have been a lobster hunter. I mean, he did the whole Taekwondo thing, so maybe he was doing the diving.
He was into melted butter.
Fried, no question.
He fried banana peanut butter lobster sandwiches.
Melted butter with Percodan.
But, he that is a fool's rush in. That's a great way to phrase it there, Bill.
So just remember, stop, drop, and roll.
No, stop, think, and react. Calm yourself and work the lobster.
Stop, tickle, grab.
Don't rush it. Just don't enjoy the moment and really try to just calm yourself. And
but if you really had to break that down, it would be stop, lightly tickle.
Yeah.
Bag it.
Okay, or bag it or loop it. You could use a looper, which I use a lobster.
I think that would
looper.
Be hard to do, kind of difficult.
It's just a different technique because instead of the tickle stick, a looper, you kind of close it shut. And then you take it just like a tickle stick there through the antenna.
Is there a chance if it's too the loop is too tight you could snap the little sucker right in half?
No, not there's some that have like spring loaded type of devices that I've heard could do that, but the one I use is just hand tight, and you're not going to usually pull them to the point where you're going to harm
a lobster.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to do that.
I think lobster loopers are the most environmentally way to catch a lobster because. When you're using the net and a tickle stick, the problem is, like, if you get a lobster in a net, they can swim back in the net, and they'll say, you got them out from under that ledge, and you couldn't see the lobster that well, and it ends up the lobster have eggs. Well, the lobster, you're not allowed to catch lobsters with eggs. You got to let them go. They're female lobsters. You don't want to hurt those lobsters. And when they get caught in the net, it's not as easy as it sounds to get them untangled from a net. When they get tangled up into a fish net like that, you start pulling. Next thing you know, a leg's coming off that kind of thing, and that's just not good. You freak them out. They could drop their eggs, and that's just not good. A looper, on the other hand,
you just release it.
You just release it. You know, the guy's has eggs. You just pop it open, and they're usually they go away unscathed.
I have a question.
Yes.
Now I've only been diving 2 years now.
Something like that.
And you have been diving a long time.
73 years.
Does the word tickle stick, is that ever not funny?
No. For the rest of your diving career, the only difference is when you're a diver, you can say the word tickle stick without busting your gut. Now, all your friends will look at you like, you are a pervert.
Well, see, that's where I can't.
Well, that's okay. That's all right. You're still a newbie diver in my book.
Before tickle sticks, they had something called bang sticks.
Yeah, those are for sharks, aren't they?
Yeah. They're pretty
and,
much.
And mermaids.
They're pretty much for whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
It's a multi-purpose
oh,
tool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the bang stick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, take that.
Barefoot
one,
Man
yeah.
sings a song about the bang stick.
Yeah, you take your bang stick and your tickle stick into the bedroom. Oh, good fun. Good fun indeed.
Yeah, you may even want to invite your wife. Greg does that every once in a while.
Hello. All right, so
depth charges.
There's a few tips on how to snag your lobster for Florida spiny lobster season. Now, I said some of these tips will apply to the left coast. However, you can't use loopers and you can't use nets or tickle sticks in California, for instance.
But stopping, dropping, and roll is still perfectly legal.
However, you can use your hand, and they and one guy actually, when we were at the Long Beach Dive Show, we were talking about this, and his technique was coming up behind the lobster, and how he gets it out in the open is anybody's guess, because they would have to be out in the open to do this. They wouldn't be under a ledge, obviously, couldn't do this. But he comes up from behind them, and he literally takes them and takes his hand and smashes them against the ground or against the bottom of the ocean and traps them that way. And he says that's a good way to do it. The only downside when you do that, you know, you're going to hurt the lobster, I would think. So that doesn't seem like a very environmentally good way
well,
to
gonna,
catch the
you're
lobster.
You're going to end up eating it anyway, so what difference does it make?
Well, if it was like the lobster was too small, but I guess it was out in the open, I guess you would know that it was big enough, so I don't know. I mean, I haven't been lobster hunting in California yet, so...
Can't use a net either?
Evidently can't use a lobster net,
well,
tickle
stick, or
anything.
Well, I don't think there's as much structure for them to hide in the kelp forest. I think they more hide amongst
well,
the kelp.
Don't try to tell CJ anything. He still thinks it's humane to slaughter cattle with a Buick.
Okay, well, that's...
It's not?
You guys, just quit it, will you? Jeez. I'm going to have PETA on my ass. It's just not right.
It's Jimmy's fault.
Lobster PETA is pretty good.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
PETA bread.
All right, so I don't know. Yeah, I want to go catch some California lobster, first of all, just to do it, and secondly, to find out, do they taste better or worse than the Florida spiny lobster? Because I'll tell you, fresh Florida spiny lobster will give a Maine lobster a run for its money any day of the week. But it has to be fresh, and you have to catch it, too.
We got to go. You got to take it.
We're going to do that. We're going to do that. Maybe not mini-season, but right after the season opens here in August. And Florida, I'll take you guys down.
Yeah.
I've given you your marching orders on how to react and how what to do when you see the lobster. The rest is up to you.
And now, where can I get one of these tickle sticks?
You could get one at Divers Direct. You guys just went there before the show today.
We were running a little late because we were down there. But
I got one right here. I got sextoys.com up. There's one right there.
Yeah, wrong stick.
That's going to tickle.
Bill's
going to It's going to tickle.
Yeah, that'll put an eye out.
That's a French tickle stick right there. And no, yeah, I guess you could use that underwater. Wow.
Rhymes with stick.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, yeah, what kind of gear are you going to use for lobster season? Feel free to share right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
You know, last week on the show, I mentioned that we were going to discuss a topic on Scuba Radio this week regarding tipping. Because, you know, what should you tip when you're on a dive vacation, on a liveaboard? What should you tip a radio show host that does a show about diving every week to educate divers around the world? I'm telling you here today.
Can you put a price
record,
on that?
Yes, I can. A minimum, it's definitely in the thousands. And I'm saying per episode, wouldn't you?
Sure.
Thank you. Spoken like a good
Wow, if every
student.
Listener did that, we'd have what?
$2,000.
Yeah.
1,000 pesos.
Yeah, real funny.
But yeah, you know, feel free if you want to ever tip us here at the show. God knows we'll apply it to the Greg the Dive Master Retirement Fund.
Boy, so that means you'll be off the air faster.
That's right. Look at the bright side.
The money's rolling in now.
Wow, the phones are lit up. Keep them coming.
But, you know, what sparked this topic? You know, I got this update from Undercurrent, one of the dive magazines. You know, they claim to be like the Consumer Reports of the dive industry. I don't know if I really buy that. They don't accept advertising, so they say. But it's just somebody's opinion, and they do a fine publication, don't get me wrong. But remember, everybody has an opinion. And he wrote an article, the editor for the magazine, called The Last Word on Dive Tipping, and gives some outlines on how divers around the world should tip when they're on a dive vacation, whether it's a liveaboard land-based operation, whether it's Fiji, the Bahamas, whatever the case may be.
Well, that's pretty helpful, because I had to ask you. I didn't know. I went on my first liveaboard. You know, you don't know.
Well, yeah, you know, but the thing is should it be standardized? I'm not so sure I agree with that, because I think it depends on where you're going, and it depends on the operation. I mean,
well, maybe just like general ballpark guidelines will be helpful.
Well, I mean, the general ballpark guidelines wouldn't it be just like anything else? 10, 15, 20%?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, that's where you got to find out.
Well, the thing is that you get a lot more service from a dive crew on a dive boat than you do the woman who took your order, bought your drinks, and then checked to make sure the kitchen delivered the right food, and we give her 15%.
Yeah, that's true.
So is that a fair amount? And I also know that she only gets $2.35 an hour from the restaurant. How much is the folks on the dive boat getting from the boat? I mean, do they live off tips, or do they live off of their pay?
Right.
They live off the fat of the land.
No, I don't think that's true.
And do you follow Greg around? Because Greg may possibly be the cheapest man I've ever met.
Don't say that out loud.
No, he's been pretty generous. I actually, I asked him, and I followed his guidelines, and I didn't get any dirty looks or smacked or anything, so I think they were okay with what I tipped.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's always an individual choice what you tip when you're on a liveaboard, land-based operation, or whatever. However, it does depend on where you're at. For instance, when we went to Fiji, even before we went, I read some stuff that said that they actually frown upon tipping overall in that part of the world because
they drink mud.
Well, it's called kava.
They drink mud.
And the thing is that they don't necessarily frown on tipping, but it's not standard operating procedure in that part of the world. And they kind of do different things. Like on the kava ceremonies, what they do is they take donations for the kava or for you to buy stuff from them. So you
look,
buy
we
kava.
Made some mud. How about a donation? And if you give a big enough donation, we'll tell you not to drink it.
Right.
Honestly.
Well,
thank you for your generosity.
No, no.
Only Bill would think dropping mud would somehow be, you know, a tip.
Yeah, well. But I'm telling you, I don't know. I have a problem with trying to standardize tipping, because I think when you go on a liveaboard operation or land-based, you have to do a little bit of research on your own. Talk to the local manager of the property or the boat or the captain, you know, and you say, hey, what is, you know, standard, give me some guidelines to work from, and they'll tell you. They're not going to lie to you.
Why not?
Well, I mean, I don't. You know, and then it's up to you.
Here's
how
what
much
we
you
do around
get.
Here. You just give me the money, and I'll distribute it.
Well, that's how they do it on a lot of liveaboard
how
operations.
How much do I tip, sir? How much you got?
No, it isn't how they do it. I've never been accosted or felt uncomfortable in a tipping situation, especially on a liveaboard. That's not, you know, they want their customers to feel good about the experience.
They filled my air tanks with a flatulent.
No, they did not. That's a lie. But I'm gonna do that to him for that lie. He deserves it.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explorer Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explorer Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explorer Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to explorerventures.com. That's explorerventures.com.
Are you wishing for a warmer relationship with your wetsuit? Well, then you need to wear Waterproof. Unlike the mass-produced, super-stretch approach to wetsuit design, Waterproof wetsuits are made using multiple pieces of higher-quality neoprene to sculpt a suit that matches the human form. The result is a wetsuit that fits better, lasts longer, and keeps you warmer. Waterproof has been the leader in wetsuit design overseas for years and now are available in the States. Go to waterproof-gear.com to find the dealer near you. That's waterproof-gear.com.
I just don't think tipping should be standardized or anybody should be putting it out there saying that all divers should tip this way, otherwise you're an idiot. I just don't believe that. Educate yourself. Talk to your dive operator. Talk to the liveaboard captain. Whatever. They'll give you some guidelines to work with.
Be generous. You had a good experience. Hook them up.
Yeah.
You know?
And if it didn't, don't tip. It's up to you. But there's not any standardized guidelines a diver should be following. At least that's how I feel about it. Feel free to call in and disagree if you so choose.
Give till it hurts.
Well,
give
maybe.
Some more.
And don't be Mr. Pink from Reservoir Dogs.
Okay. I don't know what
Top
that means.
Top of a buck, you cheap bastard.
Yeah, okay. That would work, too, I guess. But that probably wouldn't be advisable. Look, when I was in Fiji, we were sporting our new waterproof wetsuits, and we have Mike Ainge from Waterproof on the line right now. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Matter of fact, we have a new video up at scubaradio.com, and the waterproof wetsuits on Mermaid Abby are being modeled quite efficiently. Matter of fact, she did a few poses in her waterproof wetsuit that kind of looks like her own little superhero outfit. Did you plan it that way, or is that just the style that you guys go for?
I think that's just the way it happened.
That's just the way it happened. Well, I got to tell you, my waterproof wetsuit, my 3 mil, I would have been dead in the water in Fiji if I didn't have this thing. Do you hear this from a lot of people that put these things on for the first time, Mike?
We hear a lot of people say they're amazed at how thin the suit is that they use to stay warm when they switch to the waterproof line.
This is true. I mean, and you know, that was my real, I mean, it was like my first real diving experience in the Pacific, and it was a little bit cooler than I expected. And if I wouldn't have my wetsuit, I would have been freezing my butt off. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even in Fiji. So I thank you for that. And what's new with you? What have you been up to?
Well, it's just I'm headed to North Carolina to do a little diving at the moment. And other than that, that's it. No exciting diving adventures, a little cave diving here and there. That's about it for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, well, I know, you know, Mike, he travels the world, and he's done quite a bit of diving in his day and is going to be doing some more. And matter of fact, let's keep him on the line. I want to talk to him more and about waterproof.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
That's our sister ship, the Athena. Went down with 88 souls just last week.
I wonder how that happened.
Hey, come on, Sharky.
Hey, you want a piece of this?
You call yourself the king of the jungle. Come on!
The wetsuit's coming. The wetsuit's coming.
Come on! Come
on! The wetsuit's coming.
I am the man in black, but I'm not a fighter. I wear a black wetsuit and look 10 pounds lighter. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get ready for the first ever show in the world.
Scuba Radio.
The wetsuit's coming.
Scuba Radio.
The wetsuit's coming.
You know, and Now, if I'm coming, you see me in a waterproof wetsuit. I've been using a Capri 3-mil waterproof wetsuit, thanks to our friends at Waterproof, and Mike Ainge's from that fine company. And Mike, I got to ask you, you know, when we were in Fiji, I was talking about diving with my Capri wetsuit, which I've had for a couple years now. And we had Mermaid X, we had Mermaid Abbey, we had Single Scott. They were all equipped with brand new Capri 3-mil wetsuits, so they look good in our scuba radio videos from that part of the world. And, you know, the one thing that was interesting to me, and I'm wondering if you can answer this question, is why does mine look just as new and clean and colorful as their brand spanking new ones? Because I've had wetsuits for, you know, after 3 months, they start to fade and they look a little ragged and start to, you know, chafe and all that kind of stuff and start to look, you know, a little rough around the edges. But that hadn't been the case with mine. Is there a reason why this is the case with you guys at Waterproof or what?
I agree. It's just quality materials. You know, if the material is thin and it stretches a lot, because that's the way it has to fit you, then the more you stretch it, the more you stress the material, and the fabric breaks down. It begins to get that kind of fuzzy look to it, and,
right?
You know, that kind of thing. And our suits aren't cut that way. We use a heavier neoprene. We have to actually cut the suit to fit your body instead of stretch it around your body. And as a result, we don't have that breakdown problem.
Well, I got to ask you, is this going to be like the last 3-mil wetsuit I ever own, or is this thing ever going to wear out?
I hope not. You know, we're going to have a new color scheme in the fall, and I'm sure you want to buy a new one of those. So.
Okay, okay.
But,
just to be stylish.
Yeah, just
I
to
might
be
want to upgrade.
The suits do hold up a long time, and I'm diving a 5-mil that's working on 6 years old now. And
wow.
I dive a lot, so it's still in real good shape, and I have no desire to replace it soon.
Speaking of the fall wetsuits, Greg, are you going to be hitting the runway? Is that why you were throwing up earlier?
Binge and purge. That's the way I keep this hourglass shape of that I've acquired over the years. Thank
you're actually shaped like a pocket watch, not like an hourglass.
More like an Erlenmeyer flask.
Okay, that's enough. All right, but yeah, it's impressive stuff. Now, the 5-mil wetsuit you wear, does that kind of keep you warmer than a typical 5-mil? Like, would you compare that to, like, a 7-mil or what?
I do cave dives now in a 5-mil suit that, you know, a few years back I'd be doing in a dry suit, and I'm perfectly comfortable.
And cave temps of what, like 72 in, like, a spring?
Yeah, water temps 72, but I'm doing water times, you know, in excess of 2 hours at a pop.
Well, you are insane. But at least you look good doing it because you're wearing your new waterproof wetsuit, right?
That's it. That's right.
What is the new color scheme? Are you do we have to wait till October for the Dima show for that?
Yeah, October to see that. I will let you know, though, that it's going to be a front zip line instead of a back zip. So,
oh, okay.
We're keeping the old line, but we're also introducing a new one that's going to be a front zip because a lot of customers have asked for it, so we're going to do it.
All right. Fair enough. Well, thank you so much, Mike. We'll check in with you again real soon, buddy.
Sounds good. Thanks very
waterproof much. Waterproof gear, or waterproof-gear.com. Check them out on the web.
How'd you like to talk diving with Greg the Dive Master? He's pulled that long hose out of his throat, and he's ready to talk now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Does the idea of spending a week on a liveaboard dive boat sound appealing, but also make you queasy? Well, then you need to consider a Necton cruise. Necton's swap-designed liveaboard dive vessels keep the boat rocking to a minimum. That way, you can spend more time enjoying the amenities of these mini cruise ships and the underwater attractions of the Bahamas or Belize, as opposed to feeding the fish. For more information, go to NectonCruise.com on the web or call 1-800-UW-WORLD. That's 1-800-UW-WORLD.
Hey, there are a lot of places you could pick for your next dive.
The Great Barrier Reef.
Cozumel.
The Red Sea.
Indonesia.
Cayman.
My swimming pool.
But now there's a new place you'll want to think about. A beautiful island that's not hard to get to. Unspoiled. Not expensive. Rustic. Real. A full-service resort. Friendly. Really friendly. Great dive masters. Everything you need. And the diving. Oh, amazing diving. The third largest barrier reef in the world. Cavern, blue hole, walls, big fish, and sharks.
All right, already. What is this place?
Thought you'd never ask. I'm talking about the newest dive site in the Bahamas. Coral Caverns Dive Resort on Andros Island. Coral Caverns Dive Resort. Hey, my time's about up, so just go to coralcavernsresort.com. Find out about where you'll be on your next dive trip. Get off the beaten track and get into some real diving. CoralCavernsResort.com.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Hi, my name is Ravi. I'm from zip-fiji.com.
Oh, my God, I'm twisting around. I'm backwards. Help me! Oh, my God.
You are listening to Scuba Radio.
I'm going to die.
World's first radio show devoted to divers. On a surface interval, don't forget to come zipline with me.
Woo-hoo!
In the meantime, keep linking to Greg, the Dive Master. He is also a zipline master.
Yo!
Thank you very much.
I live! I live! We survived the zip!
Sir Evie, do you have a change of pants or anything I could...
Oh, no.
Oh, well. That was a very special day. We had a ball until that moment in time when I realized I was going to have to go back to the Pearl Resort. Well, you know.
Did you hit the tree like Daffy Duck?
I did not hit a tree.
Yoinks, in the way!
No, it's more like a George of the Jungle. Watch out for that tree! You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, but no, it that is really cool, the zip lining.
It is. I've done that before in like, Cancun.
Done that.
Yeah, in Cancun.
Really? Well, this is, Zip Line Fiji. I think it's Zip-Line or something. What is it? I said it there, but I forget.
It's called Show Prep.
It's the first zip line course in the South Pacific. It was quite fun to, if you ever have that opportunity to do this on your surface interval,
we should set one
up
here. We could go from this building across the street to the next building.
To the cigar bar.
Yeah. To Naked Guy's balcony.
We could zip over to the cigar bar.
That'd be good point.
It is zip.fiji. Nope. Zip-Fiji.com.
Yeah.
Zip-Fiji.com.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes, sir.
Good times. Good times indeed. And for the DEMA show in October in Las Vegas, we're going to be hanging out with those folks and doing some kava. They're bringing the kava ceremony to the DEMA show again this year. They're kicking it up a notch after we had so much fun on the show a couple weeks ago. And I was talking to the folks there from Banga Lagoon Resort. And they said, yeah, we're gonna bring a couple of the villagers. They're gonna bring a big stash of kava. We would like you guys to come over and participate in the ceremony. We'll sacrifice a scuba radio mermaid or two and, celebrate accordingly.
Now, by sacrifice a mermaid, what does that mean?
Like a human sacrifice, just except that it's
like a volcano?
Yeah, I don't like.
Or just maybe a really hot tub.
Well, it's definitely not a virgin.
Well, it'll be a hot tub kind of thing. Yeah, maybe just boiling water, something like that.
Like a lobster.
Exactly. Right. We'll watch her squeal right before she... That's it. That's its sound that it'll make. Hey, time now for the new equipment review here at Scuba Radio.
Right.
And matter of fact, in Fiji, we had some mono fins, which are just, you know... Fins just stick both feet in. They make one big flappy tail, you know, kind of like a dolphin type thing, a monofin.
Or a mermaid.
Right. Well, we had gotten a few of these for our new Scuba Radio Mermaid Tails, which we had debuted there in Fiji. You can see some of the pictures, as a matter of fact, on the Scuba Radio MySpace page. That's myspace.com/GregTheDiveMaster. All right, go there and then click on pictures. You can see them. We'll get them up at scubaradio.com soon, but we have video that we're working on and planning to put up there. But right now, there are some pictures up on the MySpace page of the mermaids in their tails using these new monofins. Now, the thing is, you know, we have the monofins from Finis, F-I-N-I-S, is the company, and they were nice enough to supply these fins for this purpose. But you can't really see the fins because they're inside the material, inside the Scuba Radio Mermaid tail. So we're actually working on a few projects with them that we plan to debut at the DEMA show as well in October, which is the big diving equipment trade show that we'll be covering full force for you back home, giving you a little sneak peek to that trade-only event. However, they also sent me some other products that Finis makes. And by the way, it's Finis Inc. Fins.com on the web if you want to check this out. But they have these fins called evolution fins, which are basically, I don't know, how would you describe these, CJ? They're kind of like, they're not your standard scuba fins, and these aren't really, they're not really made to use in scuba diving per se, but how would you describe how they look?
If you were like a Smurf and you had webbed feet.
Yes.
They're blue and they're a little shorter.
Good point. Okay. All right.
If instead of being separate fins, they were a monofin, you would look like a seal in the water. There's
exactly.
No question about it.
Yeah, they do kind of look like a monofin split down the middle. And maybe that's how they came up with these. Now, they're really made to be used, I think, for exercise or for swimmers that are using, you know, wanting to use fins to get where they want to, you know, to the edge of the pool faster, or for boogie boarders and those kind of things. However, I'm going to take these things in the water possibly tomorrow. And, Jimmy, what do you think? You think these will work? I'm going to use these scalloping because we're just going to snorkel. We're not going to be doing scuba diving.
Pack a sandwich.
Pack a sandwich?
Yeah. I don't think your feet will fit in those.
You're not the scallop master.
Oh, yes, I am. I'm going to go scalloping. Florida scallop season is...
Florida spiny scallop.
I know. They're not spiny. He has been a great mentor to TJ and myself.
Mentor.
Yeah. It's only a two-month season. It's a very short season.
That's
for Florida scallop season. But I'm going to take these evolution fins from Finis. They look pretty cool. They're very compact. And see, that would be the advantage in this situation, especially if you're just snorkeling. You don't need a lot of power. You just need some steering flexibility and a little bit of... you know, juice behind your kick, and I think these might just do the trick, don't you think?
Check them out, man. Let us know.
Yeah. So these are the Evolution Fins from Finis Inc.
They look pretty
FinisInc.com. Check them out, and they got a couple different sizes, and yeah, interesting.
If they work well, then CJ is going to let me take a large rubber mallet to his feet, and we'll be able to, in I think about three good solid hits, squeeze his feet out to the same size and shape as the evolution fin.
No, cool. These take a full foot. I see. I mean,
I don't remember that discussion at all.
Yeah, these adjust. Look at them. They won't.
What's in that tea, Bill?
And the large size is blue, the smaller size is red. So, you know, I think they're pretty cool. I'm always looking for smaller, lighter, faster, stronger.
And fortunately for you, so isn't Mrs. Greg the Dive Master.
anyway, I'll have a full report for you next week.
I ain't going there.
But here's another new product that we've covered just for you. Kind of outside, you know, the general scuba realm. But, hey, that's what we're here to enlighten the diving public to new products like this, right?
Sure.
Did you see anything at Divers Direct? You guys were down there.
Oh, what didn't I
shopping.
Say? I love that place.
It's like being a kid in a candy
it
store.
Is.
Oh,
diver,
yeah.
Loaded wall to wall with dive related stuff.
You know what I got? One
what?
Of those Evo bags.
Oh, yes. One of those
awesome.
The big duffels.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got a very nice duffel bag there that I actually use for all my traveling now. I got like five of these things because I just got a, you know, big suitcase. I got tons of stuff I got to travel with these days.
Contraband.
Tickle sticks.
DiversDirect.com. Check it out. More coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
When you were little, all you needed to have fun was a sunny day, a boat, and some water. For three generations, Boat US has worked to maintain this carefree lifestyle by providing time and money-saving services for millions of boaters, including low-cost boat insurance, towing on and off the water, discounts on fuel and equipment, and so much more. Boat US keeps boating safe, simple, and affordable, so your family can still enjoy a sunny day on the water. Visit BoatUS.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Scuba Radio.
This is Dr. Samuel H. Gruber, the Shark Doc. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving and to political intrigue.
Everybody, lay low in Germany, or be nothing new.
Political intrigue. I think revealing the identity of Mermaid X falls in that category. At least that's where I'm going to go with it for now. So do not miss that. Next week, big, big show as we reveal her identity once and for all. And I will tell you this much. It is a her, despite what you may have heard in the past. It is a female mermaid. There's no surprises here.
Now, was that the phone call you had at the beginning of the
yes.
show?
Yes. Yeah.
Sounded like a guy.
Well, we just had her voice disguised, and you know, we might have went a little overboard. Sounded a little bit more manly than she did.
Transsexual.
Than she really does. But that's next week on the big show. Also, don't forget, September 6th is the next big Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. We got a pod of mermaids on board as we go dive with wild dolphins in the Bahamas. For more information, go to explorerventures.com. Tell them you went on that September 6th Scuba Radio trip. And you can call them at 1-800-322-3577. 1-800-322-3577. And reserve your spot. Just a few spots left. It's going to turn into quite an event. Wild dolphins in the afternoon, full day of diving, full half day of diving in the morning. We snorkel with the dolphins, and we play with mermaid. Oh, it's going to be a blast. All right, so ending today's show on an upbeat note. Remember that dude who killed his wife in Australia?
Oh, yeah.
You know, they went on a dive trip, and next thing you know, she's at the bottom, and, you know, Dateline's doing specials, 2020's doing specials. Did this diver kill his wife underwater?
Yes, I just got a word from the Scuba Radio legal department.
Yeah?
Allegedly killed his wife.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Allegedly. Yeah, that's what you should have said, too. You said he did it.
Oh.
Allegedly he did
it.
Oh,
that's what I said.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it happened in Australia, so I guess I'm...
You could say, I think, or in my humble opinion.
From what I've seen, it looks like he did it.
It seems like...
He allegedly really did it.
Well, evidently, the Australian authorities finally have agreed with what most people have been saying the last month or so, and have charged this guy with murder in Australia for allegedly drowning his wife during a honeymoon dive on the Great Barrier Reef. So there's the latest. We'll find out where that story ends up. But, you know, it looked a little fishy when you watched it, especially from a diver's perspective on some of the stories you've seen on TV. And
especially since he's a rescue diver.
That's right.
Yeah.
If nothing else, he ought to have his certification revoked. All right, at the bare minimum, it just doesn't go over well with me. But anyway, there you go. That'll do it for this week. Remember, it's always better down where it's wet. Get down there, buddy.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.